Hi everyone, wasn't it great today to see the kids waving palms from wherever they were? A reminder really that this whole pandemic thing isn't going to stop the Holy Spirit from bringing us joy and peace. God is good. Amen. Just a note today, if you ever want to say amen or respond, you can always do that in the comments section. God is good. Amen. And amen. So I mentioned earlier today, and I'll just throw it out there today, because and this service as well, because one of the interesting things in a time like this is we find ourselves grateful for people in our lives sometimes that we don't think about, or people in the sort of normal patterns of community that we don't think about. So earlier today, I gave a shout out to my hairdresser, and just on behalf of everybody, we want to give a shout out to our hairdressers today, because we miss you, and we want to we just want to say that if we have taken you for granted, we're sorry, and we want to see you soon. And as I've said, I hope to see you soon, because I'm only a couple weeks from my freshman sophomore hairdo in high school, and I've burned those pictures. I don't want to go back there. I saw somewhere this past week that if you aren't sure what day it is, if you see worship somewhere online, you can know that it's Wednesday or Sunday. I'm not exactly sure how true that is, but you could try that. If it's Wednesday, it's probably you're seeing it in the evening. If it's Sunday, it's in the morning. For all those of you who are in that sort of just haze of I'm not even sure what day of the week it is, today is Sunday, and it is Palm Sunday, and I am glad, we are glad that you are here in this virtual space with us worshiping today. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds today and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. Amen. Early in my ministry, a young man came up to me after a funeral that I had officiated and asked if we could schedule some time and talk. He was a co-worker of the man whose life we were celebrating, and he shared that I'd said some things about Jesus and faith, and he just wanted to know more. Of course, I told him I'd be happy to talk sometime. We scheduled a day the following week to get together. When we met, the young man told me that he was agnostic. Essentially, he didn't know what he believed. His mom or dad, I don't remember which now, was Buddhist, and the other parent was atheist. And this young man, he'd been exposed to other faith and beliefs, but he didn't really claim any as his own. He told me he was intrigued by Christianity because of the Christians that he had met and how they had such hearts to serve others. But in his understanding or in the way that he had seen church or Christianity presented on a larger scale, he just saw sort of judgment and condemnation, and he was wrestling to kind of put those two experiences together. We ended up meeting several times over the next few weeks, and while we talked about a lot, he always circled back to two questions. What makes Christianity different from other religions? And why or what difference does Jesus make in one's life? Today, with our celebration of Palm Sunday and with Holy Week coming and sort of all of that in the background, I want to invite you to think about those two questions. How would you answer them? What answer would you give to what makes Christianity different from other religions? What answer would you give to what difference does a belief in Jesus make? Or as I think he was really asking me, what difference does Jesus make in your life? Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Jesus had been in other areas of the region, preaching, teaching, and healing. But according to the accounts of Mark and Matthew and Luke, he hadn't at least spent significant time. Maybe he hadn't been to Jerusalem. He certainly hadn't done any public ministry there. And Jerusalem at the time was the center of the region. It was the political center. It was the cultural center. It was the center for commerce. It was the spiritual center of the region. People would ask Jesus, "Why aren't you going to Jerusalem?" And he would tell them, "It's not yet my time." But now it was his time. And while Jesus hadn't been a political or a public leader in Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem and those coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, a good number of them had heard about Jesus. They had heard about his profound teaching, and they had heard about his healing. There were rumors that this man, that Jesus coming, was the Messiah, the one who would deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire, from the difficult conditions of living in an occupied territory and being forced into poverty, or certainly on the edge of poverty. That's why people lined the streets with palm branches. That's why they waved their branches. The palms were a sign of respect. They were something you'd wave at a king or a visiting dignitary. In this case, they were waving them for the expected Messiah as he came into Jerusalem. What happened next in the days ahead, though, was very different from what the people expected. Profoundly different. And here in this triumphal moment of the story of Jesus, we find a clue about what makes Christianity different, why knowing Jesus matters. You see, during the Passover, from the west, the Roman ruler at the time, who was Pontius Pilate, would ride into Jerusalem in a show of military might, particularly on high holy days and holidays, so that the people knew that Caesar was king. Pontius Pilate would ride in with chariots and horses and troops in the army, and they would come parading through, and people would come out to see them, and it was all a show so that people knew the military might of the Roman Empire, so that people would know that Caesar was their ruler and their king and their God. For the Romans and other religions of that time and since, the power of your God was whether he gave you the military might to destroy the enemy. Even those who gathered that day with Jesus would amass they were expecting Jesus to amass an army and overthrow the Roman occupation. They thought Jesus would come in this display of military and political power, and he would form a kingdom by force and impose biblical law on those conquered. The basic beliefs of those religious systems of the time were that God is with the victorious and not the losers. Right? This kind of God was with the powerful and mighty and successful, not with the weak and struggling. In these belief systems, humans are created to please this kind of God. It wasn't a two-way relationship in any way or in any sense. Into this world where the blessing of God or the gods was defined in power and health and success, Jesus arrives not from the west but from the east, and not on a mighty steed but on a donkey, and not with an army but with a small group of followers walking with him. Jesus arrives not to start a revolution or to amass an army. He arrives in Jerusalem to die. Jesus comes to Jerusalem and he continues his ministry of introducing the one true God. And these weeks ahead, this week ahead leading to the cross, Jesus is going to show his followers, and he's going to show the world a God of love and grace and compassion, a God of forgiveness and mercy, a God who desires relationship with humanity, a God with compassion who cares. Why is Christianity different? Because as Jesus arrives on a donkey and continues to the cross, he shows his followers that God isn't only present in victory and power and triumph. God is also present in the struggle. God isn't with the powerful and not with those who are struggling or weak. Blessings certainly come from God, but the lack of blessings as we define them in our human terms doesn't mean that God isn't present. In Jesus, we come to know that God understands the pain, that God loved us so much that he walked through the greatest suffering of humanity. God knows, God understands. In Jesus, we realize that the ultimate victory comes not in huge battle victories. It doesn't come at the expense of others. The ultimate victory comes in sacrifice and giving of oneself. Ultimate victory isn't just winning a battle or in success or wealth or even health. Ultimate victory is in a loving relationship with God and neighbor. We might think about this in today's world and in today's terms. Right? Sure, we all want to see the coronavirus defeated. We want to win over this virus. But in Jesus, we know that ultimate victory isn't the defeat of the coronavirus, though we certainly pray for that. Ultimate victory is knowing that God is with us in the here and now and in every moment. Ultimate victory is finding the strength and courage that we need in Jesus to survive and even thrive in difficult times like these. Right? Knowing Jesus makes a difference because in his life and his teaching, we find a way through these kinds of times, through the difficulty and through the struggle. And we find it by following Jesus in loving one another and serving one another. And in the incredible example of our healthcare workers out there today, sometimes even sacrificing and giving one's life, giving oneself for one another. Right? Our faith in Jesus makes a difference. Because in Jesus, we come to know the promise that life is eternal. And in that promise, particularly now, we find courage and hope. We gather together today in this virtual space to remember that even in his life and death, Jesus models for us how to find a way through the times of struggle and suffering in our world. Right? Jesus shows us, even from the cross, how to put our trust in God, how to deepen our relationship with God. For those of us struggling right now, and I know many of us are in different ways, right? We're struggling with grief, the loss for some of us of spring break trips, or for some of the loss of jobs, or just loss of routine in life. For some of us, it's loss of loved ones. For some of us, it's the lost connection in face-to-face relationships. For those of us struggling right now, for those of us seeking this kind of hope and courage, we can turn and look at Jesus on the cross and his words there and find an example, to find ways for us to go forward. Jesus' very last words, for example, invite us in tough times to worship, to give our whole selves to God. In that act, to realize that God is, is with us in the Holy Spirit. Listen to these last words of Jesus. This is from Luke's account of the cross. Luke writes, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." These words, these last words of Jesus, were a prayer from the Jewish Psalms. You can actually find it in Psalm 31. Scholars note that it was actually a prayer that was taught to children at bedtime. Some of you may have learned a prayer at bedtime when you were growing up, or perhaps you taught such a prayer to your kids. In our family, it's "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And I've always shared that prayer with my kids and hope that they'll hang on to that prayer. If nothing else comes to mind, there are these words about putting your life in God's hands. Well, for Jewish children in the time of Jesus, scholars say parents like Mary and Joseph would have taught their children this prayer from Psalm 31, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And here is Jesus, his last words on the cross, take a posture of worship, giving his life to God. In these times of struggle for so many of us, may we not forget the power of prayer. Just a simple act of worship that we can do any time of day and say, "Thank you, God," or "Help me, God." And be reminded that God is with us. If we look again at Luke's gospel, as Jesus is being nailed to the cross, we find another example in what he says in this moment. It says, starting in verse 33, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots." Forgiveness. In this moment of pain and suffering, a moment when it would be so easy to judge and condemn, Jesus forgives. In these times in our life of tension and anxiety, it's so easy to judge and to blame and to condemn. And instead, the example of Jesus invites us to continue to grow in our faith, to continue to learn from the words of Jesus and grow into a life of love and forgiveness and kindness and grace that reflects the love of Jesus. Our third example comes actually from the Gospel of John. Before Jesus goes to the cross in John's Gospel, he kneels at the feet of his disciples and washes them, modeling that the greatest act of all is to serve. And then John shares this moment that's only in John's gospel about Jesus on the cross. Starting in John 19:25, it says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." In the midst of the pain and suffering, you notice Jesus is still thinking of others, still caring for the needs of others. Right? As it becomes so easy right now to feel alone and isolated in these times, Jesus' words, they invite us to experience love and hope beyond our own suffering by serving or caring for another. Right? One of the best ways shown by Jesus right from the cross, one of the best ways to step out of lamenting our own circumstances and caving in on ourselves is to care for someone else. In Matthew's gospel, turning there now, Jesus is hung on the cross after carrying it to the crucifixion site. And that happens at around noon. And then Matthew's account doesn't report Jesus saying anything from the cross until his final words in Matthew's gospel, until about 3 p.m. And this is what Matthew says. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. This is the same as Luke's account. And then it says this, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" These words of Jesus, they actually come from Psalm 22, and it's a psalm about suffering and about trust, right? And as we think about what difference Jesus makes in our life, here is Jesus modeling that in the throes of suffering, in the most difficult times, it is okay to cry out to God. God understands. God was there. God experienced the same kind of suffering. And as we hear Jesus ask this question, why? Right? Why, God? We think about the times when we've asked that question, and we realize that Jesus said the greatest gift one could give was laying down one's life for somebody else. And now he's doing that, not just for the disciples, but for all of humankind. Right? When we hear Jesus ask why from the cross, we fully understand that God gets it. God understands the suffering. And God promises to be in the midst of it with us. And as we look to the cross, we realize the sacrifice that God and Jesus was willing to make for us. Sacrifice God was willing to make to understand the depths of our human existence. Right? Jesus was willing to give up everything for you and for me. So as we read these words of Jesus, we're invited to lament, to name our suffering, to cry out to God. And then in Jesus' words, we're invited to realize the depth of God's love for us, what he was willing to sacrifice. And in that realization, find that we can spread this love by giving ourselves to others through our time and gifts of our resources, sharing the blessings God's put in our lives. We can make sacrifices that show and spread that love, bring more of the kingdom for others. As our current sermon series is Five for Faith, it seems fitting to look at one more example, a fifth example of Jesus' witness from the cross. This one comes from the Gospel of Luke. And it comes as Jesus hangs between the two criminals. And Luke tells us, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Here at the very end of Jesus' life, one more example to us of how to hold on in the midst of suffering, how to deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit inside of us. He offers one more example as he witnesses in the throes of the passion, he witnesses to life eternal. Right? Jesus never stopped witnessing to a love that conquers death. He never stopped. We've been told, warned, I guess, that we're going to see a lot of death in the days ahead from this virus in our country. We've already seen a lot around the world. And Jesus from the cross invites us to share the promise of life eternal with those who need hope and comfort. This is our good news to share. Now, if you were counting in Jesus' witness from the cross, we discovered five ways of deepening our relationship with God, five practices that Jesus modeled in his life and then even on the cross in his death. Worship, grow, serve, give, and witness. And here's the thing, as we face these times together, these five practices have sustained the church and the people who are the church through the trials of 2,000 years, and I believe no less so today. These five practices have the power to see us through this uncertain time. Worship, stop and pray. We talked about five times a day when you get up at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner, before you go to bed. 5 easy times to pray every day, just to pause and remember that God is with you, to pause and worship and know God's presence. Grow. We challenge everybody to read 5 verses of Scripture every day, to just continue to let Scripture shape us and help us grow into the people God wants us to be, more loving, more full of forgiveness and kindness. Serve. We talked about serving as serving others, 5 acts of kindness every day. And sure, that's a little more challenging when we're physically distant from each other. But it isn't impossible, and it's a way for us to not cave in ourselves, but let God's love flow through us and to others. What are 5 acts of kindness you can do each day? Give. We talked about 5 gifts. We challenged everybody a couple weeks ago to do 5 gifts during the week. But how is it that we're watching for opportunities to share our resources and our time, to sacrifice a little bit of ourselves, to bring a little bit more of the kingdom, to testify to Christ's love to others? And finally, witness. Aaron talked about 5 times of witnessing every day, and you can do that, you know, post on Facebook or a text to somebody or a call to somebody. What are ways that we can talk about how God is making a difference in our life and in our community and share that good news with others? On Good Friday, we'll worship online and walk through all these words of Jesus on the cross. And I hope that as we do, I hope you'll join us. It'll be 7 p.m. on Friday. I hope that as we walk through those words and music and reading those from Scripture, you'll hear an invitation from Jesus to find what you need in these times of angst and challenge and for some of us, suffering. The young man I talked about, I lost touch over time with him. I don't know about you, but there's people that kind of have passed into your life for a short amount of time. Every once in a while, he pops into my head, and I wonder about him. And this is my hope, my prayer. I hope that he heard me say that what makes Christianity different, the reason that Jesus matters for me, for us, is that in times like these, in times of challenge and suffering, Jesus showed us that God isn't absent, isn't vindictive, isn't needing us to prove something. But instead, Jesus showed us that in times like these, God is with us in the midst of the suffering. And my prayer, I hope, upon all hopes, that in times like these, that young man finds the strength and hope that he needs in Jesus. That's actually my prayer for all of us. That as we walk through this holiest of weeks, may you find in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection the strength and the hope and the love that you need. Amen.